Chapter 31. The trouble began when... Well, the trouble really began when a caveman on Earth looked at a fire and thought, that might be useful. After that, it was an inevitable series of events that led to filthy monkeys developing technology and... Well, I guess technically the trouble started when the elders decided their networks should periodically shuffle the active wormholes for some unknown reason, resulting in a recent shift making Earth easily accessible to the Kristang and... Okay, there is plenty of blame to go around. This time, the trouble began when the face-to-face negotiations were into their second day. Of course, I didn't know about it at the time. Even Skippy didn't know about it. Valkyrie wasn't anywhere near the neutral site chosen for the three-party talks, and everyone involved was extra super careful to conduct all their discussions and scheming offline. It's true that Skippy is awesome. It is also true that he is not omnipotent or all-knowing. I mean, it would have saved a lot of heartache if the people involved had used electronic communications like civilized beings. But technically, the trouble began when the senior species decided they could use a divide-and-conquer strategy against us. By divide, I don't mean splitting humanity away from our potential allies. I mean splitting up UNEV. For the formal negotiations, the Rindaloo suggested a site where they met the Maxalts for talks on the few occasions when those longtime enemies decided they needed to discuss something face-to-face. There wasn't anything special about the asteroid. It was just a rock, hollowed out down the center, and set to spinning so the interior had gravity about 60% of Earth normal. The spiders originally had the central chamber set up with a biosphere based on their long-lost homeworld, which they may have intended to intimidate their enemy. The opposite happened. Seeing a reminder of what they had lost was depressing, so the spiders ripped out the biosphere and replaced it with entirely artificial organisms they created for that environment. The asteroid orbited a boring red dwarf star with only one lonely ice giant planet which was barely adequate for providing fuel. The only reason that site was selected was its location, midway between unimportant wormholes in Maxalts and Rindaloo territories. Anyway, Chang took the UN delegation to the negotiation site aboard the Flying Dutchman. UNEF Command debated sending a more powerful warship, even a small fleet of ships, then discarded that notion. Any number of ships we sent would remind the senior species of how few ships we had and accomplish nothing. After dropping off the UN negotiating team, the Dutchman retreated to wait at a designated location, roughly 7 light minutes away. The Rindaloo and Maxalt ships also jumped away to await a signal, and everyone was on their best behavior. The first day of the three-party talks were absorbed by awkward introductions and setting ground rules, about which the Maxalts were less prickly than the Earth delegation expected. The representatives of the hegemony were apparently making the best of a bad situation, seemingly almost in a cooperative mood. The morning of the second day, both of the senior species requested breakout sessions with each of the 5 permanent members of the UNEF Council. Having 5 human entities involved in the negotiations was confusing, both the Rindaloo and the Maxalts stated. It would be useful to meet separately with each of the 5 UNEF member nations to better understand their relationship to the overall United Nations structure and to gain an appreciation of the culture of the 5 nations. The request played to the egos of those humans involved, and each of the UNEF member states quietly hoped to gain an advantage, if only for prestige. That was a mistake. The Maxalts, 2 of them, met separately with 1 member of the delegations representing China, India, America, Britain, and France. Each time, they requested to begin the session with a particular junior member of the delegation, stating they did not wish to take up the time of the lead members of the teams. Major Lin did not know whether to be flattered that the Maxalts had requested to meet with him, or insulted that he was considered to be junior in status. The aliens requested him by name. That had to be important. From the ambassador, he received strict instructions to be polite, to listen to the aliens, and to absolutely not reveal any information or commit his nation or the UN to anything. He was completely surprised when, after exchanging awkward small talk, one of the aliens leaned forward, peering intently at him, and asked,
"Major Lin, you are not concerned about your country's precarious position?"
Lin blinked, despite his usually impressive self-control. He did not know that the clothing of the Maxalts was dispersing a substance that acted as a mild narcotic on the human nervous system, loosening his inhibitions.
What position?
Please correct us if we misstate the facts. Our understanding of the situation is of course based only on the short time we have known your people. Your nation, China, has traditionally been a rival of the country called...
The Maxalts glanced down at a tablet as if he needed to be reminded of information stored in his cranial implants.
India?
That is an exaggeration.
Lin tried to speak as smoothly as the aliens did.
Really?
The cat-like creature made a show of checking his tablet again.
We apologize. We were led to believe that your two countries have even recently been involved in skirmishes along your common border, and also have been conducting proxy wars in the countries of Bhutan and...
Another dramatic look at the tablet.
Nepal? Is that not correct?
As I said,
Lin found himself becoming irritated.
Those are exaggerations of the facts about a very complex situation.
Again, the kitty smiled. We apologize. However, we do believe that the other three permanent members of the UNEF Council are also members of a military alliance known as the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
It is commonly called NATO, yes.
The People's Liberation Army major shifted in his chair.
What is your point?
Forgive our ignorance of the political situation on your homeworld. We are simply observing that China appears to be alone and in a relatively weak position compared to the four other nations that also control starships above Earth. It has been suggested to us that...
The alien stopped talking to look at his companion. Their eyelids flickered, indicating they were talking privately via implants.
What? Lin demanded. What has been suggested?
Nothing.
The Maxalt's mouth tightened in an embarrassed smile.
I should not have said anything.
You did say it. What has been suggested?
Major Lin, we do not wish to cause tension between your nation and the others of your coalition.
UNEF is not a coalition, and there is no tension.
Was there not recently a minor conflict in a place you call the
now usual glance at a tablet?
The Philippine Sea?
That matter is not any of your concern.
He felt his face growing red. He knew he should probably request a recess to confer with the ambassador. His instincts urged him to find out what the alien was talking about.
What was suggested?
The alien sighed.
If you insist.
I do.
Very well. It has been suggested by the three nations involved in the NATO group that we negotiate with them as a single entity. The delegation from India has been invited to join the NATO group. That leaves China alone.
What?
Your response might have been translated incorrectly. However, it appears you are displeased about this information. You were not aware of the other nations excluding you?
No, I was not. May I ask whether you intend to accept the proposal to exclude China from the talks?
The exclusion was not to be anything official. Merely that the actual negotiations would take place when you are not present. The answer is that we have not decided what to do. We are displeased to see the parties we are dealing with are in disarray. It is difficult enough to discuss matters of critical importance with beings who have so little experience beyond their homeworld. Now we have to reach an agreement with three parties?
Three?
This NATO group... The nation of China, and the treacherous Rindaloo, he explained. It would not surprise us to learn the Rindaloo are behind the NATO attempt to exclude China. Major Lin, we would strongly prefer to have one entity to speak for Earth. Based on your economic and military power, China should logically be that entity.
He was aware the alien was making a clumsy attempt to flatter him and appeal to his sense of national pride. He was vaguely aware it was working.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, it appears these talks will be fruitless since your United Nations are anything but united. It would be better for everyone involved.
He looked away for a moment. If China had the means to enforce its will upon the other nations of your world, please understand that we have no ill will towards your country, but we must be practical. America controls the Skippy AI, so they are the—
America does not control Skippy.
The Maxalks contorted his facial muscles, especially around the eyes, into an expression the human would interpret as pity. We are aware of the fictional country that the criminal bishop hides behind. Major Lin, we are each responsible to our people back home. We must speak the truth no matter how unpleasant. The Skippy entity is aboard a warship that has an American commander, and an American is second in command of that ship. Also, a NATO member national leads that ship's special operations unit. It has been reported that a token number of Chinese are aboard Valkyrie. However, they have no real authority. This is a truly unfortunate situation. Lin was no fool. He guessed what the alien was hinting at.
If you are suggesting that China help you to capture Skippy, that is not an—
No, that is not our intention. We have tried and failed, and— He sighed again. Now we realize such an action is not only reckless, it is foolish. The Skippy would never cooperate with us, nor with the Rindaloo. He is only useful to humans. Lin's confusion was clear. His head was anything but clear, and he blinked to concentrate.
Then what?
We are suggesting— The alien paused. That it would be better for everyone if China controlled the Skippy.
I still do not understand, Fleet Captain Julabad said after the Chinese representative had walked away with much to think about. What do we hope to accomplish with the China humans that could not more simply and securely be done with the America primitives? America already controls the Skippy. Why are we not—
The Americans— Admiral Wendatti was proud of having learned the correct local term for the primitives who identified as belonging to that regional construct— are arrogant because they are confident in their control. They see no reason to compromise with us, with the Rindaloo, or with the other national entities on their homeworld. The Chinese, by contrast, have little to lose and everything to gain if they can capture the Skippy. They could eliminate Valkyrie and the criminal bishop, removing a major threat to their own starships. They will then be more cooperative with us, because China will need allies when they establish dominance over their planet.
We take advantage of their fear?
Yes. The story about the NATO group approaching us was a total fabrication. However, to the Chinese, it feels like it could be true. Julabat, during the journey here, I conducted extensive research about the humans and their national entities. There was a Chinese military leader in ancient times whose writings are still studied today. This General Sun Tzu emphasized the importance of arranging events such that the enemy is defeated before the battle begins. That requires waging war by non-military means, including economic pressure, disinformation, alliances with your enemy's enemies, and clandestine operations. We know the Rindaloo have been trying to reach a separate agreement with the Americans. It is diplomacy, not enormous war fleets, that will turn the humans from a problem for us into an asset. At best, we will split the human alliance and reach an agreement with the Chinese that is favorable to us.
What if the Skippy refuses to cooperate after it is captured by the Chinese?
Wendatti smiled broadly, exposing his fangs. That, too, is a best case for us. The humans will be fractured and unable to enforce their will on us without the assistance of an elder AI. If the Skippy merely continues to protect his pet humans by resetting the clocks on the elder weapons in our territory, the strategic situation in the galaxy will return to the state before humans interfered with the natural course of events. Earth will be isolated and will play no part in events beyond their bubble of space.
At worst, what is the worst case? The Chinese plan is discovered before they can act, and again human society will be fractured and weakened. The humans will be consumed with their internal political strife, leaving the galaxy to us.
Julabad considered, his eyes flickering as he inquired the ship's AI for analysis.
Very well, he agreed. What is the plan if the Chinese refuse to take the bait?
Then we approach the delegation from India, or France, or Britain. We have plans for each contingency. The key is to drive a wedge between the five nations that control their expeditionary force and to separate the Skippy from Bishop.
Have we considered simply assassinating Bishop?
We have. Analysis by the section indicates a major risk that the assassination would be traced back to us, even if we use clandestine intermediaries to hire humans to do the job. The result would be the humans becoming more united against us, and the Skippy AI turning all its energies against the hegemony. However, he paused, that option has not been entirely discarded. There may come a time when Bishop is such a dire threat to us, we are forced to act, regardless of the consequences.
You have thought of every eventuality. What is the plan if the Chinese not only refuse to take the bait, but they also reveal our proposal?
That would not be optimal, Wendaddy admitted. It would, however, be only a setback. We would explain to the humans that we were motivated to contact the Chinese because we know the Americans have been secretly negotiating directly with the Rindaloo. We will then approach the delegation from India to notify them that one condition the Chinese discussed with us was that the Chinese wanted our assistance against their traditional rivals. Then we begin the process again. The section has 97% confidence that the result will be positive for us.
Julabad, the Rindaloo are arrogant and duplicitous. In this case, we must put aside our ancient enmity and admit they were correct to say we should negotiate with the humans. We had been at war for the better part of a decade since Columbus Day, and truthfully, most of the time was the merry band of pirates sitting around waiting. Waiting for UNEF Command to make a decision, waiting for the jump drive capacitors to recharge while we traveled between stars, waiting for an Elder wormhole to emerge so we could constantly travel dozens or hundreds or even thousands of light years, or waiting for the precise time to kick off an operation, then waiting to see if the op achieved the desired results. My point is, even being in combat involves a lot of waiting, and all of it sucks. Still, waiting to go into action is way better than waiting for negotiations to produce a result. Damn, those diplomats sure can talk. And that goes for humans, kitties, and spiders. Chotek included a private note to me when the Flying Dutchman briefly stopped at Earth to update the UN about the progress of the talks. Even Hans Chotek, professional diplomat, was frustrated by the slow progress, caused both by deliberate stalling tactics by both senior species and by the senior species arguing over every issue, no matter how small. Apparently, the kitties and spiders were using the three-party talks with us to hash out ancient grievances. I guess that is better than them shooting at each other, or at us. So you have to keep it in perspective. Hans contacted me privately out of courtesy because of the mutual respect and friendship we had slowly and reluctantly developed over the years. He felt I deserved a heads up about what was going on behind the scenes, and he didn't trust the UN to keep me in the loop. I appreciated the gesture. The other reason he contacted me was purely professional. He asked if I knew anything that UN leadership wasn't aware of, which was shocking and hurtful, because I certainly never do anything that is not fully and directly authorized by the proper chain of command. Okay, back to reality. What Chotek was most worried about was any sort of initiative by someone ambitious like Emily Effing Perkins that could screw up all the progress in the talks. By the way, he did not actually call her Emily Effing Perkins in his note. I read that between the lines. Before Chang took the Dutchman back out to the negotiation site with fresh instructions for the diplomats there, I composed a reply to Hans, stating that I was not aware of any specific plans that Perkins or anyone else was cooking up, and assured him that UNEF Command had the Legion on a short leash that included the alien part of the Legion. We would not,
could not support any action by the Verge that might jeopardize our own security. Anyway, there was good news, even great news. We had a ceasefire agreement. While the talks were ongoing, the seniors agreed not to commit any hostile actions against us, and this is the important part, not to allow any of their clients to get into any mischief against us, authorized or unauthorized. Basically, the Maxalts had decided it was not in their interest for their aggressive, pissed-off, or just plain stupid clients to take out their anger on us. Not while the kiddies were trying to get the best deal they could from us. Chotek told me privately that we were offering slightly better terms to the Maxalts, figuring we had to sweeten the deal for them to commit. Their monumental egos were already bruised by talking with inferiors like us, but they would like knowing that the Rindaloo were sort of getting screwed in the three-party agreements. The feeling was the Spiders mostly did not care about specifics of the terms, as long as overall the Maxalts were knocked off their pedestals. I thought it was cool that we lowly humans could gain an advantage by playing our enemies against each other. Although, Chotek warned me that our enemies had been playing the game for a lot longer than us, and had tricks of their own. The last truck rumbled up the dusty dirt road, bouncing and rocking on the rutted surface, climbing a mountainside in remote Aksu province of China near the border with Kyrgyzstan. When the truck reached the slightly wider section of the road that was being used as a parking area, it halted awkwardly, one rear tire hanging halfway above a ditch. Soldiers hurried out to open the rear passenger door and saluted the officer who stepped out to greet the assembled peers who were waiting for him. None of the field grade officers were wearing uniforms. Instead, they were dressed simply in hiking clothes, yet they all still looked like army colonels. There was no mistaking the quiet air of authority in their demeanor and the perfunctory manner with which they returned salutes. Brushing off the protests of their aides, the mid-grade officers slung their small packs over a shoulder and headed off up the trail, ordering the soldiers to remain with the vehicles. They walked quickly, despite many of them having spent much of their careers at a desk. Within half an hour, they halted beside a stream in a steep-sided ravine, and two of them removed devices from their packs. Without a word, a scanner was waved up and down each of the officers, then a broad-spectrum electronic jammer was set up and activated. Colonel Yang took a drink from his canteen, looking around, and thinking it had been too long since he had spent time in the field. His battles of the past decade all occurred in the halls of power, mostly in Beijing. "Remember," he said in a quiet voice as he replaced the cap on the canteen. "No record can be left of this meeting or these discussions. Not in digital format, not audio, not in writing, not even if you use a code. People up there," his eyes automatically flicked to the sky, "have learned from painful experience that the only secure way to pass information is face to face, out of range from any listening devices." "Did it have to be here?" Colonel Chen grimaced as he shifted a sharp pebble off the rock he was sitting on. "You would prefer the heat and humidity of a jungle?" Yang winked, amused at his colleague's obvious discomfort. Chen had truly spent too much time in an office. "What news?" Ma asked impatiently. He too was irritated by what appeared to be overly dramatic security requirements. Like the others, he was busy. Too busy for games. "We need to determine the feasibility of a proposed operation," Yang said. "And if we believe it could be successful, to prepare plans and assess the level of risk involved. Especially to assess the risk." The others looked around, gauging who else knew about whatever Yang wanted them to do. The blank faces made it clear it was new to all of them. Instantly, as a group, they were wary. Whatever the proposal was, it had come from politicians, not from inside the military. Politicians, as a rule, cared more about whether something was theoretically possible and not about the messy details of the resources, organization, and people required to make it happen. "What," Ma asked, "is this operation?" "To capture the Skippy AI, and if necessary, to destroy Valkyrie, and eliminate General Bishop." After the initial shock of the announcement wore off, the group considered the problem. "This is..." Ma looked to the faces around him, trying to assess how they felt about the shocking proposal. bold initiative. He settled on a neutral word. This has been officially sanctioned by senior leadership?
No.
Yang shook his head. They would be too cautious, too timid. We must save our nation from itself. The responsibility to act falls to us.
What assets will be available to us? Chen asked after a long silence. All of them then understood why they had been selected for the secret meeting. They had been very carefully selected because Yang had known each of them for many years, knew their views on certain issues, knew they could be trusted.
Any ships controlled by our people, Yang explained. Though, of course, we would first have to assure that key positions aboard those ships are staffed by people of solid political reliability. Extreme reliability, he added. For anyone sent off-world to serve with the UN Navy must already be considered a loyal Chinese citizen. In addition to them possessing a high level of discretion.
The others nodded curtly, acknowledging the statement had not been necessary.
What about, Ma inquired, the Flying Dutchman? Senior Colonel Chang cannot be relied upon in this manner, Yang interrupted. While Chang's dedication and bravery are not to be questioned, he has served with Bishop for too long. It is feared he would face divided loyalties. Also, he would probably consider this operation to be a reckless adventure.
Again, the others nodded, and he continued.
The resident AI of the Dutchman is also considered to be too clever. It might uncover a secret operation despite all efforts at concealment. Regarding the need to avoid surveillance, those involved must avoid any direct contact with the Skippy AI.
That will make the task more difficult, Chen observed. Our people must be close to Valkyrie to accomplish the operation.
That will certainly involve contact with Skippy. Such contact must be avoided, Yang repeated.
Chen laughed softly.
You have clearly not had the pleasure of engaging with Skippy. If he wishes to talk with you, or believes he needs to talk with you, it is impossible to avoid him. He is stubbornly persistent.
We must avoid contact, Yang insisted. Your orders are based on unrealistic assumptions, uninformed of the facts.
Chen would not be moved.
Any outright attempt to avoid contact with Skippy would raise suspicion and be counterproductive.
Our people could act in an unfriendly manner toward the AI and explain that they are busy, Ma suggested.
That will work only if they do not insult the AI, Chen cautioned. If Skippy believes he is being annoying to someone, that often only encourages him.
Yang, our PsyOps people have studied Skippy and have a training guide of recommended techniques for dealing with him. I suggest the people involved should take the training. This training would, of course, have to be conducted away from Earth and out of Skippy's presence. All of this will take time.
What is the target timing for this operation?
No sooner than is necessary to be fully prepared, Yang cautioned. However, as soon as possible. It is feared that other nations might be preparing to act to seize control of the Skippy.
The Americans already have control, Ma said bitterly. They might be looking to openly formalize that control.
Comrades, if we do not act, China risks becoming an irrelevant lackey of imperialists.